The City of Lakeland strives to provide transparency for our residents with the goal of having an informed and engaged citizenry. Views shared by those interviewed are not necessarily the views and beliefs of the City of Lakeland as a government entity.
Well, good morning and welcome to the City of Lakeland's July installment of Access Live. I hope everyone's having a great summer. We are blessed to have Sean Shirouse with us today. He is the Assistant City Manager. Have a great show planned. We have our new Economic and Community Development Director, Nicole Travis, with us today. We also have Beth Sherling with the Parks Department to talk about Holly Jolly Jingle Bell Jog and Camp Extra. We have Lakeland Electric in the house to talk about some of the recent scam alerts we want to notify you on. And we're going to end with Elizabeth Holiday talking about some of our preparation for hurricanes and how we communicate with you. Sean, how are you today?
Good. Happy to be here, Kevin. Well, thank you.
Thank you. And you look tan and fit. You must have been on a couple of day vacation.
I did, about a week. Yeah, been over at the beach and enjoying the Gulf Coast.
Well, thank you for being here. Well, Sean, we know that right now we just recently had our deputy city manager take a job in the county of Sarasota. So there's a lot on your plate right now. So let's talk a little bit about some of the departments that you oversee and things of that nature.
Okay. Yeah. Brad Johnson went to Sarasota County to be the an assistant county administrator there. Great opportunity for Brad.
Yes, it was.
He put in 6 years here with the City of Lakeland, made an impact on the city, and we'll certainly miss him. And with Brad being gone, now Tony Delgado, our city manager, and myself are kind of dividing up the departments for a while until we eventually make some other moves there. I have had, since I've been working here for the past 2 years, community and economic development, Department of Information Technology, Fire Department, and the water utility. Now with Brad's departure and some reassignments, I also am adding human resources, public works, risk management and purchasing, and the RP funding center. So it's going to be a busy plate for both Tony and I, but I'm looking forward to the opportunity to kind of interact with some of the departments that I've yet to really have a lot of involvement with in the past 2 years.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot on your plate.
We do, and you mentioned, you know, already, I know Nicole Travis recently, you know, named the new Community and Economic Development Director after Celeste Deardorff had been the interim and retired,
yep.
and not long before that, Jim Studiol retired, and so, you know, we got a lot of changes that are happening within the departments with some new leadership.
Right.
Same thing in the water utility. Bob Connor, who had worked here for 20 plus years, retired last week, and Bill Anderson had been the assistant director, and now he moves up. And so as he moves up, others will have an opportunity to
right.
move up, and or, you know, at least positions will be open, whether it's filled internally or externally. A lot of changes and a lot of work falling on everyone's plate.
Well, and you mentioned HR and the changes what we're talking about. We have, we've heard from Mark Farrington before, we have, just like the rest of the United States of America, you have a graying workforce with a lot of individuals, the baby boomers that have been in place and been employed for many, many years that are retiring. So you're going to see holistic changes throughout the organization in the years to come.
No doubt about it. You're right. It's happening in the private sector. It's certainly happening here at the City of Lakeland. I think the last kind of statistics that I was given internally for the city was that I want to say within the next 5 years there's like a third of our workforce who will be eligible for retirement. Now they may not and won't all retire at the same time, but will at least be eligible, and that's a little bit of a vulnerability there when you have that many years of experience that could leave within a 5 year
right.
window there. It's a lot of changes and certainly feeling it the same way that others around the country are.
Well, Sean, right now in your position, what are some of your initiatives going forward, say over the next year? What are some big projects or initiatives that are really part of your agenda?
I got you. Well, in a very kind of general sense, my as far as internally, you know, I want to just make sure that we keep a stable, from the top leadership down, that we just keep a stable workforce as much as we can. We provide them all the support that they need to go out and do the important work to the citizens of our community. So that's kind of what I want to work on internally. Externally, there's a big effort, you know, to improve as much of our customer relations, customer service, customer-centric, I think Tony
right.
calls it, try to improve as much of that as we can. We've had a lot of opportunity to do that in the last couple of years since I've been here. In Community Development Department, I kind of mentioned them earlier, you know, they have a e-planning and e-tracket system now, which allows the customers to upload things online, and rather than the old days of having to call someone or stand in line at the counter to kind of see where the review process is at and when you might can expect your permit, now you can just go online and you can keep track of that. It helps the contractors out there through that process because they can kind of monitor that and they can almost anticipate when their permit will be issued, and that helps them mobilize out in the field.
Sure.
And so all of those types of customer service improvements that we can utilize, we certainly want to encourage, and moving forward, that's going to be one of the big initiatives is how much more customer friendly can we be.
Sure. And you mentioned community development, and before it was known as the Community Development Department, now it's Community Development and Economic Development. So
right.
what are some of the changes there that we're putting in place?
Yeah, you're starting to see that across the country as well. So many other cities are changing that instead of just being community development focused, which historically, you know, has been a lot of your plans review, a
sure.
lot of your permitting and your building inspections and, you know, your land use and zoning applications and the like. That's kind of been the traditional. But what people are realizing is that all of that also drives economic development. Being able to assess, you know, those entrepreneurs who come in with an idea and they're not sure how to really get started, well, having a process where we can help coach them through that, walk them through that, almost kind of like an ombudsman, which we now have someone on staff who kind of serves in that capacity. So it just really helps with the economic development opportunities, and the better and easier you can make that process for folks, the more likely you will have more and more people coming in wanting to start those businesses, which of course then on the economic side, you know, creates jobs and brings
right.
money into the economy and gives us a good workforce, of which is improving given the statuses of all of our colleges now, and with even, you know, the newer Florida Poly out on the interstate and the test track being close nearby for FDOT. There's just a lot of opportunity for economic development, and we certainly needed a department that can kind of marry up the community development, you know, city building type aspects with how do we economically develop our community as well.
And our viewers may not realize, and certainly our citizenry, they may not know that a lot of times when a large group, corporation, when they're coming into a community to and they're thinking about moving here, they typically contact the city first, mainly because we have our own water department, wastewater, and electric utility. So we're one of the first points of contact anyway in that economic development model.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. We're not only one of the first people that they contact to make sure, you know, and find out what resources are available, but, you know, what assistance there also might be to someone who's looking to develop a business, or even on the large scope industry, you know, what type of incentive programs might help them choose Lakeland over another nearby community
sure.
who has some incentives and assistance to offer.
And we work very closely with the LEDC, and that's the Lakeland Economic Development Council. So it's a real wonderful partnership when we're trying to attract businesses to come to the area.
Yes, it is. Mr. Steve Scruggs and his staff over there, and we have, you know, constant and fairly routine communication with them, and we're certainly supportive of them. They're supportive of us, and it's kind of, you know, we're better as a team, certainly, than we are kind of in our own silos.
And I know it may be early, but are you taking over water utilities as well?
I am, yes. Water utilities. Actually, I already had water utilities, so I will continue with water
good.
Utility.
And let's talk a little bit about our consortium.
The PRWC.
Yes.
Yeah, the Polk Regional Water Cooperative.
Yes.
That is certainly, you know, I see that, I think as many others do, as the future for how we manage those very precious resources like our water and the high demand for it. And so the PRWC is going to be a cooperative amongst all of the cities in the county, in Polk County, to just make sure that we leverage those resources in a smart and responsible way.
And how's that working right now? I know there's some big projects that the various communities that are in Polk County are looking at. Mm-hmm. And those, if they go forward, just for our citizens to let them know, how are the costs shared?
Yeah, exactly. So there are projects that are now being studied and developed. Recently, the PRWC has brought on a firm who has, you know, engineers and scientists and the folks who make those things happen and help with those decisions and discussions. And so that's kind of where that's at. What would happen then is as these projects develop, there is a sharing of that expense for those projects.
Sure.
Amongst all of the partners that are in the cooperative. And so, you know, based on their size and population and future needs for water, that will kind of determine what their share of those expenses would be. So that's really the most important thing probably behind the cooperative is how to fund those projects, how to do it cooperatively so that multiple cities, you know, can benefit from them versus just kind of each city being on their own to make those decisions. When we're really using a resource that, you know, not only do we share it here locally, but folks upstream and downstream are also pulling from that. And so having that cooperative, which is really one of the shining examples right now in the state, and maybe that's my opinion, but I think others feel the same way, it will be a benefit to this area, to this region going forward.
Oh, that's good to know. I recently watched a documentary on the water wars and out west, California, Nevada, things of that nature. Water is going to be, if it's not already, one of the most precious commodities that we have as our population continues to increase. So it's something we have to manage properly.
Yeah, no question about it. And I've seen an interesting television show a few years back where it talked about even state lines, where state lines are and where city lines and county lines are in many ways in the past were formed based on access to certain resources, certainly like water.
Right. Well, Sean, any other things you'd like to talk about before you exit with us today?
No, I'm happy for the opportunity to come in. I think this is my first time on Facebook Live.
Yes, sir.
And it's always fun to watch a communications department do a great job with that. So just keep on doing a good job. And again, I'm happy to be serving the citizens here in the city of Lakeland for the past couple of years, looking for more years ahead. And all of these changes, we will manage them well, and the city will just continue to be a good place to live, work, and play.
Well, Sean, thank you for all you do. We'll certainly have you as a guest in the near future.
Thanks all right, again. Kevin, thank you.
Appreciate it. And next up, we have Nicole Travis. She's recently been named our Community and Economic Development Director. Nicole, how are you today?
I'm well. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad you're here with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So today is it your first day on the job as the director?
Last week was my first.
Last week. Yeah. So
this is week two.
Week two. So it's awesome that you've been named
yes.
this new position. And we just had Sean here and we talked a little bit about the title change
sure.
is now Community and Economic Development Director. So
that's
tell
correct.
Us a little bit about what's the driving force going forward,
sure.
especially with the combination of the two.
Sure. I think just in general, community development and economic development go hand in hand. You can't do one without doing the other. Community development is really looking at improving the overall look, feel, and the prosperity of the community. And on an economic perspective, it's not just about jobs, but it's about how does your underserved population, how are we raising the tide for them? How are we being inclusive? How are we paying attention to their needs? And how are we designing the built environment with them in mind as well? So I think the change just further emphasizes what we are going to do moving forward and how we're going to emphasize those changes in bringing light to more of the economic planning that we're doing in our department.
Well, that's good to hear. And our residents out there and our viewers, and Tiffany, thank you. She says it sounds awesome.
So, hey, Tiffany.
So you have a history with Lakeland, if yeah. our residents don't know, and our viewers, that you were the CRA manager for years, and
yep.
you were part of that economic engine and development. Okay. So it's awesome that you're bringing some of your skill set into this role.
Right. I'm looking forward to it. This is so taking it out just from the redevelopment perspective and looking at it just holistic as a community for a much larger area, and figuring out how can we take some of the collaboration efforts that we did as a CRA and look at it as a whole picture for the city. So it's pretty exciting.
That is awesome. And our viewers also may not know that community development is a huge department. Not only do you have your permitting and code enforcement and your planners, it's you have your business licenses, your taxing authority. It's a very, very big department.
Yep.
Approximately how many employees?
We have about 70 employees.
70 employees.
Yes.
And I know I want to put you on the hot seat for one second. So what are some of your top initiatives going forward?
So I didn't come into this position with any preconceived ideas of what I want to do or anything in particular that I wanted to change. The one thing that I committed to during the interview process, and I'm staying true to that, is listening. Listening to the internal staff and those customer service providers, and also listening externally to the people that pull permits frequently, that frequent our department, and getting their perspective on things that could be changed, things that could be enhanced, how could we look at something differently. So these first several months, I'm doing a lot of listening. I'm saying I'm going on a listening tour, right? But one of the things that I would hope to do more than anything is do a lot more collaboration. And internally, we work together so well, and people may not know that, but how can we collaborate more with our external customers and the citizens?
Sure.
And how can we change the perception on how what it's like to do business with the government? And so I'm hoping that in my listening tour, we get ideas. And so if you guys have ideas out there, you know,
let us know.
Let us know. Contact us. Things that you think needs to be changed, or how can we engage with you differently? I would love that.
So Mickey says congrats. So
thanks, Mickey.
Thank you. I know that with the CRA, you were very instrumental in doing, and you mentioned that, some redevelopment projects. Is there anything that, and once again, you did a fantastic job and you took this new position, is there anything that you wanted to see happen as the CRA manager that now that you've taken this new position that you still want to see through?
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things. Once you're involved with projects, and some of these projects are,
they become yours.
They become yours, and they're year-long projects. So, for instance, the Lincoln Square project, right?
Sure.
That started back in...
That's your baby.
Yeah. That's been years in the making. When we purchased the property, demoed the property, did all this community outreach to see what needed. But we have a fantastic team in the CRA office. I mean, they grind really hard. And so I'll be there when we're cutting the ribbon and when we're celebrating. And so it's not me necessarily following through on that project. But I still get, as a part of the community and economic department, CRA is still under that department. And so I still get to see, be involved to a certain extent. And so that's pretty exciting. That I'm not 100% removed, just 98%. So.
And those are exciting projects. Is there anything that you're aware of that's coming in the future? Any other big development projects? I know that we've got the 10 acres Meriton.
Yep.
That's
moving forward. So that, you know, we went through all the approvals back in October, and then for the aesthetics are on the external in February. But that project, we had to go through the county and vacate all the easements and the plat and get it all plotted into just one piece of parcel. And so that's the part that you don't see. You don't get to see any dirt moving or anything exciting like that. And we have Elise Drumgo, who's in the CRA, that has been kind of dogtailing that to the end. And so we're hoping to close on that property by August, and hopefully in October see some dirt moving on that
project.
Oh,
that's exciting.
We also have been working with the new office building on Lake Mirror. The Catapult 2.0 is expected to come on. So we're hoping to see some dirt moving in the fall of this year. We're just going to continue working and being a resource to the community. And however we can partner and help, we want to do it.
And one of the things for our viewers that's very important to development is infrastructure.
Yeah.
And I know you've been instrumental, especially with getting infrastructure in place. I know Meriton needed a certain amount of infrastructure to come in.
Yep.
We've talked about some of the downtown development. We
we
need infrastructure in place. So continue to work with your other city departments in developing that.
And so one of the things that, you know, when you look as a community plan and where you want to be 10 years from now, we have to do that hand in hand with our Parks and Rec department, with the water utilities and Lakeland Electric. So we're gonna start doing some real powwow strategic planning meetings with our other departments, because community development as a whole, we can't do it by ourselves, and we don't work in a silo.
Right.
It really takes all the functions of the other city departments.
It takes a village.
It takes a village. It absolutely does. But to make it the community that we all love and appreciate, and the parks that we're going to, what the built environment looks like, it all requires each of us to have a place at the table to make sure that it's the best thing for our citizens. So I'm looking forward to working with them.
Well, Nicole, congratulations on your new role, and we'd love to have you as you continue to develop in this role. Come back and come back and be our guest again.
I'm looking forward to it.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Thank you. Want to put a face with the name, Nicole Travis, our new Community and Economic Development Director. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you.
She just had her first week on the job. We're looking for great things. She did a fantastic job with the CRA, and that's the Community Redevelopment Agency. Our next guest is Beth Shirley. Is Beth here? Thank you, Beth.
I was busy. They're having fun out there.
Are they? So Beth Shirley is with the Parks and Recreation Department, our awesome Parks and Recreation Department. And Beth does many things, but today we're going to talk a little bit about the Holly Jolly Jingle Bell Jog, which it's our Christmas run, and that's it'll be here before you know it. My wife is always telling me how many days until Christmas. That's one of our favorite times of the year. And we're going to talk about Camp Extra. So let's talk about Camp Extra first.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about Camp Extra. I know Camp Blast is going to be ending. We still have a little bit of time before the kids go back to school. So what's Camp Extra?
Absolutely. And our Camp Blast, our city camp, ends at the end of July. It's the 27th, I want to say, is our last day. It's that last Friday. So 27th or 28th, but and a lot of camps deal with this as well. So a lot of our camp counselors are our awesome public school teachers.
Yes.
And so they have to go back before the kids go back, so we're not able to have our summer camp program last all the way up until school goes in. So to fill those dates, we have Camp Extra, which is done out of the Kelly Recreation Complex.
Okay.
And it's the first, it's two different weeks, and you don't have to sign up for both weeks, because a lot of parents actually use that time to go on vacation, to take their time off after Camp Blast ends. But it's the first one starts July 30th, and this next one starts August 6th. It's $50. For each week, so you can sign up for 1 week or you can sign up for both. Elementary school age children, and anybody that wants more information can email us at recreation@lakelandgov.net or call us at Kelly Rec.
So what's the number there at Kelly Rec?
It's 863-834-3284, and I think it's going to be in the comments.
It will be. Yeah. It will be. So the email. So Camp Extra, it's right around the corner, and the deadline, is there a deadline?
Okay, so that is actually important, that we only have space for 60 kids. So there's not technically a registration deadline, but because
once it fills up, it's done.
It's full, yeah. We only fit so many in Kelly, and just since we, along with other camps, do have those breaks, it does fill up pretty fast. So I'd say get to Kelly Rec, sign up, get your kids in there.
Okay, and what kind of activities are they going to do?
Well, they're going to go swimming every day,
if
weather permits, because we're right next to Gandy.
Sure.
So
Gandy Pool for
Gandy
those.
Pool, and, yeah. Yes, Gandy Pool. They'll go to the movies. They'll go bowling. They do a different thing with Camp Extra than our campsites is we do ask, you have to bring lunch, because our school sites, they get the free summer program lunch. So, but, yep.
All right. So that, what's the cost on that?
$50 each week. So it's $100 if you do both.
Okay. Well, that's a bargain.
Yes. 5 days.
That's what a babysitter costs.
$10 a day.
I know. That's a
insane
bargain. Yeah, that's great. So sign up for Camp Extra if you've got kids. Once again, what are the age groups?
K through five. So
K through five.
Finished kindergarten, hasn't it? Haven't in the sixth.
So you can call Kelly Rec at 834-3284. Mm-hmm. Or send an email to
recreation@lakelandgov.net.
There you go. So that's Camp Extra. Now let's talk about something that we really, really love around here, and that's the Holly Jolly Jingle Bell Jog. Mm-hmm. And for those of you out in our viewership that don't know what this is, it's our run around Three Parks Trail, and our participants are encouraged to wear holiday festive attire. And we've had anything from Buddy the Elf to members dressed like Christmas Parade Floats run.
Christmas Parade Float was awesome.
Yeah,
last year.
It's good fun. So let's talk about that.
So Holly Jolly Jingle Bell Jog this year will be December 15th. We will be doing the Reindeer Dash as well.
What is that?
It is our kids' fun run, and it was very fun last year. Just a little 200-yard dash after the completion of the 5K. The 5K is at 7:30 in the morning. And where you're going to get information and where you're going to register, which is the most important part, is jbjog.com.
Yep, I was going there.
And what's super exciting for all of us is we're going to be able to share a great deal for the summer very soon.
Okay.
We can't share it yet.
Oh, you can't?
We're not ready.
Oh, well, that's why I had you here.
I know.
You can leave now.
definitely pay attention to the city Facebook page, because there is a deal you do not want to miss out on that will be coming very soon. So.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
Good.
Check the Facebook page often.
So we'll be sending out a promo code for those that want to participate. It's a lot of fun. Even if you aren't a serious runner, you wear your holiday festive attire. We play holiday music. It's a grand time. And you can see just a couple of the pictures. We have the serious runners up front.
Yes.
And they're in there.
We've got some Santas going on.
Yeah, but then in the back you can see the Santas, mm-hmm, and the Buddy the Elves and our snow angels and things of that nature, but it is a lot of fun. And the race starts right there at Cleveland Heights Golf Course, runs toward the YMCA to Peterson Park, runs over to
New Jersey,
thank you, and it comes up Edgewood. It comes on the backside of the golf course as well, which is one of the most fantastic. If you haven't gone on Three Parks Trail, you need to.
Yeah.
That's one of the most fantastic walks you can do, mm-hmm, underneath the majestical oaks there on Cleveland Heights.
It's like one of the only shaded places you can find in the afternoons to do a good walk.
Yeah, and it's a very nice path.
Yeah.
And we will be widening the path from the dog park, which is there, Dogleg Woods, to the YMCA in the very, very near future.
Yes, yes. And we confirmed that anything being done will be done in time for Jingle Bell Jog.
So, oh, awesome.
Yeah, it will not be affecting our route.
Well, that's good to know. So that race is December 15th. You can look on the city's Facebook page and keep in touch for a promo code that will be coming out when?
Very soon. We've got to keep them on their
toes.
Oh,
got to be on their toes.
Keep checking.
All right. Keep
checking Facebook.
There you go,
runners. You're going to want to know about this.
Anything else we need to know for the summer?
Yes. I have two really quick things.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, our last dive and movie for the summer, we have two more in the fall.
Good.
So, our dive and movie at Gandy Pool is July 27th. The doors open at 7 p.m., and the way that those work is that you just pay an entrance to come to the pool. We don't charge for the movie or anything.
So what is that? $2?
No, it's $4 per person.
Okay.
Or you can use a 20-visit pass.
Okay.
Or you can use your activity pass.
There you go.
So all that. And then our library summer program still has three more programs. The theme this summer is Libraries Rock. And the program is on Thursdays at the Jackson Branch Library and on Fridays at the Main.
Okay, so do we know what the dive-in movie is going to be?
We do not have that yet.
Okay, and what's that date again?
July, I'm looking at my cheat sheet.
Sure.
July 27th.
July 27th, and that is at Gandy Pool, which, mm-hmm, is there by Kelly Rec. And do individuals are coming to the dive-in movie, do they have to bring their own float or something to float?
We have some floats, but definitely can bring your own float. We provide popcorn and like Powerade or some kind of beverage. So
if you haven't been to that, it's super fun.
Yeah.
You're in the pool and you watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It's a fun thing. Yeah, we enjoy doing this.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Enjoy the rest of your summer. And we look forward to those promo codes in the very near future.
Yes, yes, yes. Check the city Facebook page. I mean, you know, every hour go to the city page. Why not?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Beth.
Bye.
And our next guest, we have Kelly Kautz and Mike Trevette with Lakeland Electric to talk to you about some. So Sean asked, are there any new stores or restaurants coming to Lakeland? Sean, I wish we could have, come on in. All right. I wish we could have talked about that when Nicole was here. We will certainly share some information with you on our comments page on what's coming and what's not. Right now we've got Kelly Kautz and Mike Trevette. Mike is with the Lake Electric Call Center. Got to come in. It's television. Got to get close. And we've had a number of scams lately that are in this world that we live in today. And I was even a recipient recently where someone called me asking if I was a Lake Electric customer. And I said yes. And they said, do you know that your rates are going up soon? I go, really? Are they? And the person said, well, I'm part of a federal program, and if I could get the last four digits of your social security number, I can see if you qualify for any of these programs. First of all, Lakeland Electric, we're never going to call you and ask you for your social security number, and we're never going to call you and ask you to pay your bill online,
right,
are we?
Right. No. Yeah, we want to reiterate that. We will never call to demand payment. So
ever.
Ever.
So what are some of these, I'm going to pull your website up real quick. What are some of the latest scams that we're hearing from, Michael? You're in the call center. What can we tell our viewers to look out for?
Some of the latest scams are not necessarily new, but they'll call and ask a customer to pay via a prepaid card. And they'll ask them to go to Walgreens, for example, to get that prepaid card and then to pay that way because it's harder to track.
Sure.
And then they get the money and it's gone. So that's one way. Another way is they fish for information to get the permanent credit card. Then they'll have it for later transactions if the person doesn't catch on, if the customer
sure.
doesn't catch on. And they can use it multiple times.
And you need to know, viewers, if you aren't savvy already, that in this world we live in, these scammers are getting more and more elaborate in the stories that they tell trying to get your information, so don't fall for it. So again, Mike was just telling you that if an individual calls and says you owe X amount of dollars on your Lake Electric bill and we want you to pay for it with a prepaid card, that's a red flag. Don't do it.
Yeah. Right.
Another thing that's happened is they've actually copied our IVR, our automated phone system. So if they leave you a number to call back and you call it back, it sounds legitimate. It sounds like us. But again, we're not calling in the first place telling you to call us. And we also noticed that in this recent span of scams, it was a 407 number that was calling a lot of the customers
sure.
that reporting us. And we're 863.
So right.
Our call center is 863-834-9535.
As Kelly mentioned, so if you have someone call and it sounds very official and they give you a callback number, and it's a 407 area code, which is Orlando area, that's a red flag as well. We are in Polk County, that number is 863, and then we're gonna be followed with 834. So don't fall for any of that. And first of all, we're not gonna call and ask you to pay your bill via phone anyway, are we?
Right, no, never. Another method is some of the scammers have been known to go to the people's homes and hang notes on the doors and things like that. And we don't do that either.
So we may leave a door tag if we're going to be in the area doing work, but that's all it's going to say,
right.
correct? We're
right.
not going to say leave a door tag going, hey, you owe X amount of dollars, call this number.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Correct. And if you see the vehicle, if it's ours, it will say Lakeland Electric or City of Lakeland clearly on it.
Well, Jim says nice job. He likes the fact we're talking about scams, so that's very good. I know the Sheriff's Department recently posted a number of scams, and if you received the USA Today. Today there's a great article on the top 10 scams in USA Today in the technical portion of the paper that it's happening to everyone all through the United States. So it's not just Lakeland Electric. But these scammers are getting pretty savvy. I mean, they copy our I've seen our logos on emails. I've seen, you just said they copied our phone
totally
system.
Copied right. Our phone
call
system.
Recording, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, I think the last span, we had about 50 or 60 calls to our call center telling us that they were being scammed, but that's just the ones we know. So,
sure.
You know, the number that actually is out there could be anywhere, you know, a few hundred. And right now it looks like they were targeting a lot of businesses.
Okay.
So they go after a lot of small businesses a lot of times.
Commercial and residential.
Yeah.
Both.
So.
And the scammers, when they're calling businesses, are they just doing the same thing they do to the
right.
residential customers?
And there's a little more urgency as a business. You know,
right.
There's that
fear. Because you need to be open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut. I'm going to shut your door.
Right.
I'm going to cut your power off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you could just tell our viewers one more time. I know we've said it over and over. What do they need to do so they won't fall prey to these scams?
The best thing would be to hang up. If you have caller ID and you see those numbers aren't coming from within the city, from us, 863-834, hang up. Don't engage with them because they often record your language and they can use that against you as well. You've heard of those scams where they get you to say yes or something and then they have that in their system. So don't engage with them, just hang up. Write down the number and report it. Report it to us at our main number, 834-9535, or the Lakeland Police Department if you're in the city limits. If you're outside of the city limits, it would be the Sheriff's Department.
Sure.
And another thing we want to suggest to people is, you know, check up on your account through our website. So lakelandelectric.com/customers. You can go on. You can check the status of your account. That's something that we really want people to start getting involved in. Be aware of what's going on with their accounts just through our website. And also, just to reiterate too, we offer 8 different ways to pay, which I brought my little brochure here. And none of them are a prepaid credit card. So just a reminder for that. You know, we have 8 different ways to pay, you know, through website, in person, the Dropbox, in our office, and you know, just different ways online that are safer through our website. So
we want you, our viewers, to know, don't fall prey to scams. We are not going to leave a door hanger on your door telling you that you owe us money. We are not going to call you up and ask you to immediately pay your Lake Electric bill with a prepaid card. And first of all, we're not going to call you up to ask for personal information, period, are we?
No.
Nope.
So don't fall prey. And let's thank Kelly and Mike for being here with us today. Mike Trevette, our call center manager, and Kelly Kautz is the Lake Electric's marketing manager.
That's right.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
And our next up is Liz Holliday. And Liz is going to talk a little bit about our hurricane preparedness and how we communicate with you during the storms. How are you, Liz?
Hello. Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. So I have the city's website up, lakelandgov.net. Do I need to do /hurricane?
Yeah, or? lakelandgov.net/hurricane. That's the quickest way that we have for everybody to learn about hurricane information. So right now, luckily, the page is not very active because hopefully we won't be having a storm. But if we do, this is definitely the hub of where we want everybody to go. And one of the first things you'll see is Nextdoor. We definitely encourage everyone, if they have not yet, to please join Nextdoor. Just go to nextdoor.com. And that's a great way for us to push out urgent alerts. When we do an urgent alert on Nextdoor, if you've signed up for it, it'll actually go to your text message. So you'll be receiving text messages directly from us if there's something extremely urgent. We will not use that too much.
So if you don't know, Nextdoor is a really cool social media tool where neighborhoods can talk to each other. And you typically sign up to talk to members of your neighborhood. However, from a municipality standpoint, we utilize it to push information to everyone that lives inside the city limits if you are a Nextdoor user.
Yes.
And it's a great tool for us. It's a great tool for you, our viewers, to really to stay engaged and be connected.
Mm-hmm. So during hurricane season, can you scroll down a little bit?
Be glad to.
Okay. So, all right. So below Nextdoor, we have the Lakeland Electric Hurricane Guide. And then we also have on the right some more emergency notification options from Polk County. But down here it says recent updates, and that's where we're going to be posting what we did last year's. Anytime there is any sort of update, they're all here. So just in case you did miss one that we may have posted through Facebook or Instagram, but you didn't see it, all of our updates are going to be right here on the homepage of our hurricane guide. And on the left is all the things like shelters and
checklists, where you can get sandbags, information from the National Hurricane Center, shelters, things of that nature. We really want you to, as we go forward in this year's storm season, be informed and engaged. We communicate, we use the city's website, lakelandgov.net/hurricane, as the hub. However, we push information with as many of our communication tools as we possibly can. That includes our social media channels, Facebook, Instagram. We were even doing things out on Snapchat like last year, and especially Nextdoor. So stay informed, be engaged, and Liz is in charge of our digital media products, and she is the one that constantly updates this to keep you informed during storm season.
Yes, and that kind of brings us over to just how we share our news. And if you could go, Kevin, to our homepage. If you're ever wondering what's going on in the city of Lakeland, you can check our news blog. That's where all the press releases and the most recent news are updated. And it's on our homepage at the bottom right here in the purple.
Latest news.
Latest news. So you can always check there. All of our big news items go there. And we just started a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Now, the weekly roundup. So once a week, we post a weekly roundup with all the things that were highlights from the last week. So we post it here, and it's up every Sunday, and you can see what went on in Lakeland in case you missed anything.
So it's a great way as a catch-all. If you can just go there and click on the weekly roundup, you can see everything that happened the week before. Just once again, as a way to keep you informed as our citizenry moving forward. Liz, I want to thank you for all that you do, and let's keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we have Hurricane Beryl out there right now, and hopefully that storm will steer clear of Florida.
Yes.
And really steer clear of Lakeland.
Yes, I don't want to update that page at all this year. So.
No, but we will if we have to.
Yes.
So I want to thank our viewers, and thank you for all that you do. This has been Access Live. I'm Kevin Cook, Director of Communications with the City of Lakeland, saying goodbye, signing off, and we look forward to talking to you next month.
This Lakeland Gov podcast is part of the Lakeland Gov Network. The Lakeland Gov Network provides transparency through live broadcasting on Spectrum Channel 643 and Fios Channel 43 in Lakeland, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Nextdoor as Lakeland Gov. For more information, visit lakelandgov.net.